Well, hello everyone. Hope you're doing well. And I want to welcome all of our locations and everybody online and TV. We're going to continue in our series titled Called, where we've been wrestling through what is our purpose? What is our calling? I think both of those questions, the answer to them matters, and it matters so much. And so if you've missed any part of this, make sure to go back and catch it, because I think last week, Pastor David kind of gave us a clear picture of this. He said, we, as our purpose as Christians, is to bear the image of God and restore the image of God. That is what we're called to. That is what we do with our lives. And so what I want to focus on today is kind of that, okay, what happens when that gets complicated or it feels like things just get in the way? So here's a statement I want you to wrestle with. It will lead us into more of what we kind of wrestle with today. And it's, I want you to take a survey of this, whether you strongly agree, strongly disagree, all those, some of you just went, oh gosh, I hate those things. But here's the statement. Sometimes it's easier to come to Jesus than it is to stay with Jesus. Just think about that for a little bit. Now, I'll change the statement a little bit. I want this to go out to all the moms, because happy Mother's Day. Mom, happy Mother's Day to you. Okay, sometimes it's easier to have a child than to raise a child. Right? Now, I did hear, there was one lady in here who said, amen. I asked my mom, and I asked Tina, my wife, and I was like, what do you guys think about this statement? Oh, they're like, raising a child, a lot harder. And I sat there in this, and I go back to this statement because I think what sometimes can take the wind out of our sails when it comes to purpose, when it comes to calling, is pain. And in that statement, especially going back to moms, here's the difference. We have expected pain that we go through. When we have moments of like, okay, we're going to have a child. This is going to happen. We know it's going to be painful, but we know the outcome can be so incredible. And so we look at that and we kind of go, we don't expect life to be pain-free. We understand if we're going to build a company, if we're going to study for a test, or if we're going to just build a life that we're just proud of, sometimes that will require going through pain. Even training, working out, like that requires pain. You're sore the next day and you're like, I can't move my legs. You know, those kind of moments, we expect that. It's the unexpected pain. Those are the ones that we go, and it makes us ask the question, God, why? Why do I have to deal with this disease? Why do I have to deal with this loss? Why do I have to deal with this addiction? Why am I struggling to feel like my life has meaning right now? It's that unexpected pain that comes in that seems to just go and takes our purpose. And so the question I want you to sit in a little bit is, what do we do when pain tries to overtake our purpose? So I know today we'll kind of bring up some tough, especially if you're going through stuff right now. But I also hope, for those of you maybe like, hey, life is good right now. I go, but we've got to talk through this because life does have that unexpected pain. We can't avoid it. We try at all costs to avoid it. We try to control it. And so what we've been doing throughout this series is showing clips from The Chosen series, which is an incredible TV series that I hope, if you have not watched it, please start watching it. It's free. Check it out online, all those kind of things. But for the rest of the sermon, it's going to be interesting because I'm going to show you two people who dealt with crazy amounts of pain, but you get to see the moment where God does something incredible. But then we'll work it backwards. So I want you to go ahead and watch this clip from The Chosen, and then I'll give you more and more context to what's happening. So watch this.
Whoever touched me, come forward.
Teacher.
It was me. Just the fringe of your garment, only the edge, I promise. You are not unclean.
Why my garment?
I'm sorry. I know I should have asked. But if you touched me, it would make you ritually unclean according to the law. I was sick. I was sick for 12 years. I bled and no one could stop it.
But I believed if I could just touch a piece of your garment.
And I was right. Thank you.
Who told you I could heal?
A man from the pool. And he was right. The blood has ceased.
My daughter.
I'm no one's daughter anymore.
Look up. Yes, you are. Daughter. It wasn't my piece of clothing that healed you.
But it was instant. I felt it right away.
I know. But it wasn't this. It was your faith.
Teacher, she was bleeding so long. We can take her.
She is clean. You have blessed me today. And I know. My daughter, I know it has been a fight for you for so long. You must be exhausted. Go now in peace. Your faith has made you well.
Michal.
Where were you?
I was finding this mess.
She is dead and you were gone. Why would you just leave us like
that? Trust me. Please trust me and trust him.
For what? For what?
Please. 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 I know.
No. No.
That clip gives me every time. Because if you are able to go watch the rest of the context of this, and I'll give you some of it today, but just watch how they show that story. It's incredible. Both characters wrestling through major pain in their life. You've got the woman who you saw, and then at the end there you saw Jairus and his family. So this comes from Mark chapter 5. It's a section that if you go find it, starts in verse, 21, to where it says Jesus heals in response to faith. So I'm going to read you just to give you, because Chosen has taken just the Bible, and what I love is they stick to the story. They add some little creative parts to it, but I think what they're adding is so good. So here it is from Mark chapter 5, 25 to 42. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus. She came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately the bleeding stopped and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out for him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? His disciples said to him, look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me? But he kept on looking at the ground to see what he had done. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. While he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, your daughter's dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now. But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just have faith. Then Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing. He went inside and asked, why all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead, she's only asleep. The crowd laughed at him, but he made them all leave. He took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. Holding her hand, he said to her, Talitha koum, which means little girl, get up. And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up, walked around, and they were overwhelmed and totally amazed. So I read that to give you this context. You've got two people who are dealing with different kinds of pain. One that's more, I have a disease that she was facing, she was wrestling through, and for 12 years of agony. And then you have Jairus, who is dealing with the pain of someone not well, dying. So I want to compare these two because I want you to recognize these stories aren't just like, oh, this just happened, and recognize this happened in a short period of time. These were like within hours. The woman gets healed because he's on his way to Jairus' house, Jesus is. And in that woman touches his robe in that time. And then he keeps going to Jairus' house. So look at these two, just as you think about this, these two characters right here, Jairus, 12 years of sunshine, representing his daughter that was about ready, and it even happened, they said, she's dead. And then he was an important man, ruler of the synagogue, most likely. As they describe in the Bible, he is kind of the, what we'd call now, pastor. He dealt with the business side of things, but also did some ministry. And so he was kind of leading the temple at that time, but obviously the Pharisees were kind of his bosses, but he was kind of working with them to try to make the temple go the way it needed to go. And then he was probably wealthy because of the job that he had. And he came publicly. You'll see it at the beginning of the scripture. He came to Jesus. Now, I want you to pause there. Just give some deeper context to this. The fact that Jairus was willing to go, recognize there was a lot of commotion about Jesus right now. They did not know if he was the true Messiah, if he was the true healer. And so there was a lot of divide among the Pharisees. Some were kind of believing, but there was a lot of them who were going, he cannot be the Messiah. So here's Jairus. He works in the church. You recognize what he's risking here. He could lose his job by going to Jesus and saying, can you heal my daughter? Now, all of us kind of get that. It's like, well, my kid's dying. I have to. But just recognize some of the weight that's coming along with this. And then here's the other part. Thought Jesus needed to do a lot. He said, Jesus, I need you to come to my house. I need you to lay hands on her. I need you to pray over her. And then recognize Jesus, he delayed. He actually takes time, heals this woman, and then keeps going. And then the daughter was healed secretly. So looking at Jairus' story, there's a lot of pain there, but you see kind of the struggle with, okay, do I fully believe in Jesus or not? But I'm going to take this risk, and I hope, and I've got all these kind of terms. But then look at the woman's story. So 12 years of agony. She's been desperate just to find some hope, some relief, just relief from that pain. But we don't even get a name. She's nameless, everything. And scriptures say she's poor. She spent all of her money, everything she had, to get this healed. But nothing would work. And she came secretly because she had to. Do you recognize because of her illness, because she was constantly bleeding, in that culture, she was deemed unclean. Nobody could touch her. Nobody could be around her. The isolation she felt, she couldn't be with her family. You heard it in that clip, which I think was accurate, of she would have probably said, I'm nobody's daughter. My mom and dad don't even want anything to do with me because I'm unclean. I don't have anybody. I've got nothing. And I've tried to fix this. I've tried to do it all, and nothing will work. I think we read scripture and we don't recognize the desperation that she has. Just hoping and praying that this would be it. So then, going back to this, she came secretly because she had to. And here's the thing. She thought, if I just touch his clothes, it's all she needed. That's the faith she had. And then she was healed publicly. Right there, because Jesus... Now, sometimes you read this and you go, oh, it seems like Jesus was caught off guard. No, he wasn't. He knew what was going to happen. He knew what that woman's story was. And so when he does all this, he's doing it more. This is why these two stories are connected and these two characters are connected. This is what makes this so powerful to me, is that he was using the woman's story and that moment with the woman to be Jairus. Watch this. Do you see this woman's faith? Because you're going to need it here in a little bit. Because right after that healing, where he witnesses a woman who's been unclean for 12 years, gets clean by just touching Jesus' clothes. They come running and say, Jairus, your daughter's dead. There's no point in bothering the teacher anymore. Because there's rules like you couldn't touch a dead body. There's all these things that started to play into it. And so Jesus looks at him and goes, look at me. Do not lose faith, Jairus. You just saw what happened. Do not lose faith. I set all this up because we need to land here. Pain does not cancel our purpose. But I can tell you, Satan is going to try to do that. And God's going to go, let's allow this pain to strengthen our purpose. Let's allow it to teach us what faith can look like and the power of it. But I understand that we've all been in moments to where pain is so crippling, it's so unexpected, it's not what we want to deal with. And you feel numb. You can't seem to fight it. You can't seem to overcome it. Jairus and this woman know that desperation. And that pain is still true to this day. And what breaks my heart is I've seen just conversations I've had with people, whether it's been moments where I've seen a family have to deal with the loss of a child. I've been in the hospital room where a baby is born too early. And the parents have to deal with this baby's not going to make it. The heartache I even felt as the pastor in that room. And it makes you go, God, why? Sitting in rooms, just having conversations with people who are going, I've dealt with this. I don't get it. But my prayer is always this. Don't let this pain cancel their purpose. Because I know what God is trying to do in these moments. He's trying to teach us faith. Now, I understand in a conversation like this, some of us are asking, because it's a legitimate question, but why does God allow it? Why would God allow this kind of pain? And I don't know if I have a great, perfect answer to all that, because God does his things. He allows things that maybe for us, human beings, we don't have the brain to comprehend it. But I will say this, keeping a perspective is important. To where God never wanted this to happen. He never wanted us to experience pain. But he took a risk when he gave us free will. When he gave us free will, he said, I'm going to give you the ability to choose because I want you to choose to love me. I want you to experience a full life and know what that's like. He didn't want to create robots that just listen to everything he says without the ability to choose. That's not love. And so when he gave that, he goes, I know there's a possibility of pain and sin and darkness and evil coming into this world. But he took that risk. And recognize as parents, we do the same thing with our kids. It's not on that level. But if we were like overprotective parents and never wanted our kids to do anything, we'd never teach them to ride a bike. It's too risky. They could ride it. They could go right in front of a car. They could fall and hurt themselves. We'd never tell them to start dating. Right? You're going to hurt yourself. There's just things as parents, we go, but we've got to coach them through this. And this is on an earthly realm. So then God takes it to a spiritual realm and goes, there's so many things you don't understand, but as your parent, as your guide, trust me. Believe that I'm good. Believe that I will help you through this. Trust me in this. And so I think God in this is going, yes, I never wanted this to happen, but I am going to look and go, who's going to have the faith to overcome this pain? Who's going to run to me? Who's going to keep moving towards me so that you can experience healing and experience the power that God can give in these moments? Because look at these scriptures. This is about what faith can look like. This is in Hebrews, and it says this. It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. And then catch this in 1 Peter. The next passage here. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. God kind of points out over and over again, even Jesus said, you will have trouble in this world. There is Satan, there is evil. They are going to try to distract you from purpose, distract you from what I have for you. But learn to have faith to overcome it. And God's not saying, I'm just waiting for you to have faith. And no, he's there walking right beside you. He's there looking in your eyes and going, you are my son. You are my daughter. I mean, think about that woman hearing those words from Jesus. Just the healing that would have brought her. See, I look at it, our faith, it's stretched during our pain. It's where the rubber meets the road. Are we still going to believe even though things are not going perfectly here on earth? And so to get someone into the practical side of things, there's two things I want you to recognize. This is how we fight pain. This is how we go after, okay, we're experiencing pain. This is unexpected, not what I want. So what do I do? Well, recognize this. Pain's going to cause you to stop. But faith is going to teach you to move. Any of us who experience a pain, I remember back in college, I had my ACL torn. I was playing basketball. Boom. Someone ran into me. It was not awesome, okay? But you know what happened? I stopped. I tried getting up and running, and I literally fell right back down. So pain does that to us. And you think about that's on the physical level. But when you get into some of these deep pains of dealing with grief, dealing with mental illness, it just stops you. But then when it stops you, you're going to go, okay, so what do I do now? Faith teaches you, keep moving forward. Even if you have to crawl there, go. Because one of the fascinating things that happened with the ACL surgery, so I get it all done, and I'm have that day where they take all the bandages off. Holy cow, they need like extra treatment for my brain when that happens. Like I needed a whole like psychologist while that was happening because they took it off and I was like, what did you do to my leg? Because it was bruised, it was beat up, it was all that kind of stuff. The other crazy part is I couldn't move it. It was the strangest feeling not being able to move something I've moved for so many years of my life. Couldn't do it at all. But the doctor looked at me and later on is the healing process and said, hey, you're going to need to move that. And I went to him like, no. I can't. And he's like, okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to bring a machine in that literally would help me move my leg like this. I think back to that and it applies so much even to this conversation here where God's going to go, I get it. You are struggling. But I need you to take a step towards me. I need you to lean in towards me. Because if I would have just stayed at home, letting this thing just heal on it, but never moving it, I would have had more issues. would have had more complications. What Satan wants to do, what the evil one wants to do, is to cause you just to stay stuck and to stop. What Jesus teaches you is keep moving. Look at these scriptures. Look at what Jairus does, and look at what the woman does. So, then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. His pain, his daughter sick, daughter could be dying. He goes, I have to move to Jesus. I have to run to him. He's my option. He's the guy that I think can heal him. He's the one that can do it. I have to. And he moved towards Jesus. Look at the woman. This is in verse 27. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. She just heard. She's like, I need to move towards him. I need to be around him. I just need to see if this is possible. So here's my challenge for you. For any of you who are going through pain right now, and it prep you, for any of you, it may be coming. Sorry to say it. But are you moving towards Jesus? That may look like, am I going to church? Am I praying? Am I reading scripture? Am I worshiping God? As in, just turning on some worship music and listening to him. How am I running to Jesus? And it may not even be a run, because you can't even do that, but you're crawling. You're doing whatever it takes to get there. I think about that woman plowing through everybody just to get there. Take that image and go, that's what I do with pain. I try to keep moving. And there will be days that you will need some help. I remember when I was doing my ACL surgery. You know who helped me? My mom. Thanks, Mom. Because I couldn't move at times. I couldn't go get food. I couldn't do the things I was normally able to. And so sometimes I needed help moving. But I still needed to move. The second component of this, pain causes us to doubt. Faith helps us to fight. When pain comes in, we're going to ask all those questions. God, what are you doing? Why does this happen? I don't get this. And Satan then takes that and goes, I guess God's left you. Doesn't care about you. He's abandoned you. He will try to throw all these lies at you in this moment and keep trying to throw them at you. Because he goes, if I could just get them to believe it, if I can get just in this moment, get them to hold on to that, I've got them. And so pain's going to cause us doubt. And hear me, doubt is okay. But the problem is when we allow the doubt to turn into us believing lies. So there's got to be a faith part of it that goes, we got to help fight this. Because go back to the scriptures and you think about this woman. She could have given up. She could have given up years ago and said, there's no way, no way someone can heal me. No way this is going to happen. But for she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. The fight that she had to have up here to believe that is incredible. But she had to fight it. She had to go, I still will hold on to faith. I still will believe that Jesus can do these things in my life. And my hope, because some of you may be at that spot to where you're like, I'm just done. I don't know if Jesus will. And you can tell your faith is starting to just fall by the wayside. I've sensed it in conversations with unexpected pain, when grief, when a divorce, when loss, and it could be a loss of a job, loss of whatever. But you've got to fight this. You've got to be reminded of the scriptures that say, you are his masterpiece. He does have a purpose for you. He cares about you. And he says, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. You have to know those scriptures to fight these thoughts. Because if we don't, Satan knows what he's doing. And he'll take us down a road we never wanted to go. And we'll go, how did I get here? And look at Jairus. Jesus had to tell him this. He had to work on this. He had to believe this. Look at this in verse 36. But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, don't be afraid. Just have faith. He knew that news about his daughter dying would be, whew, boom, right in the face. But he's looking at him like, look at me. Don't let your faith fall right now. Hold on to it. So with those two things, here's the thing I want you to recognize about pain. Pain will either limit your faith or be the catalyst to your faith. Let that sink in a little bit. Pain will either be that limit or the catalyst. And I understand some of you are going, but Todd, they got the miracle. They got it. She was healed. His daughter came back. I didn't get that. I'm still wrestling with that pain. And I go, I know. And not everybody in the Bible got healed. But I would say this. Jesus gave us the greatest miracle ever by saying, I will go to the cross for you, raise from the grave for you, so that you can have eternity with me. That hope can never be taken away. That joy can never be taken away. So regardless of what happens here on earth, that promise will always be true. That there will be a day where all the tears are wiped away. There will be no more pain. But you've got to hold on to it and believe it. And you got to believe that this day will pass. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For my Lord and my God is with me. That is what you hold on to. That is what we carry. Because God is going, you have the faith. You can do this. And even when you don't feel like you can, you know who's going to carry you? I will. Because I've done it and I will keep doing it. So for any of you who are in that spot of where you're either stopped or you're in doubt, I want to encourage you, hold on to the greatest miracle. Because regardless of either God heals you now, he's already healed you for eternity. And that is the best miracle ever. And we got to hold on to that here on earth. So here's the question I want you to wrestle with. What is pain doing to your purpose? Some challenging questions, making it a little bit more personal. Has pain caused you to stop to where you're stuck? Has pain caused you to doubt so much that you're believing the lie that the miracle that Jesus did of dying for you is just not for you? That you're not good enough? You're not worthy? Are you believing those things? Because when we start to have a faith that fights that, what we'll see is a God who is so powerful and so good, he meets us right there and he's waiting to it. He wants us, just like that woman experienced, look at my eyes. You are my daughter. You are my son. I love you. Let's get through this together. Because we've got eternity together. So let's not let pain change our purpose. If anything, let's let it strengthen our purpose. And let our stories, because here's the beautiful part, her story helped Jairus' faith. What if your story could help somebody else's faith? Because we are called to restore the image of God. This is an opportunity for us to take that on. So I hope and pray that we could be a group of people, because we need this in the world, that learns to navigate pain with saying, God, I need you. I am going to fight, and I am going to move towards you. So that pain does not define me. Let's pray. God, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for everything that you do. And I pray that you would lead us and you would guide us. God, in this moment, you are incredible. You are such a good God. But God, there are these questions. There are these moments where we go, why? Why do we have to deal with this? Why do I have to deal with this pain? But God, we got to recognize this pain is temporary. Compared to the greatness of experiencing heaven with you. And so, God, help us to have that perspective. Don't let pain here on earth define everything for us. Teach us to overcome. Teach us to see the good. Teach us to lean on you. Because, God, we need it. I see too many people giving up. I see too many people letting pain define them. And down deep, they know it and they hate that it's happening. And God, I've wrestled through it myself. Because there are just things that happen in life where it does make us question things. But God, I love that you are a God who is right there, ready to navigate this with us. You don't leave us. You never forsake us or abandon us. So God, may today we just experience your presence in a powerful way. May the scriptures just be speaking to our hearts right now. That you are our good shepherd, and that you see us as your masterpiece. May we believe that today and fight what Satan is trying to tell us. God, we need you. We pray all this in your name. Amen.